Hebrews chapter number 3 is where we'll be this morning. I appreciate each and every one of you being here this morning. I realize that it was hard to get out of bed today, I'm sure, for a lot of you. But I appreciate your attendance today. But I don't know about you, but I just don't want to attend church and go home. I want to be changed as I come to church. And I believe that the Bible still has the power to change you and me. So I pray today that as we open up our text to Hebrews 3, that we just won't be here listening, but we'll be listening for God to speak to us and see what He would have us to do today. Because, you know, we never reach a point in our Christian life where we say we no longer have to change, do we? We never reach that height to where we say we're at the top and we don't need to get any better or any higher. So today I pray that God will use this to help us and to change us today. You're seeing on the screen that today we're going to be talking about entering into God's rest. Entering into God's rest. You see, I knew this morning as you came in here, you'd all be wore out. So me and God knew we needed to talk about rest today, all right? So verse number 7 of Hebrews 3 is where we're going to start. We'll read through verse number 15 today. The writer is speaking and he says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." Lord, we thank You for this Word today, and I pray that You would use it to help us, use it to change us. God, use it to challenge us in whatever way You want to. God, that we might be drawn closer to You and we may walk in obedience. Lord, we love You, we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to go to verse number 11, and I want you to see the last word that is mentioned there in verse number 11. This is God speaking through an Old Testament psalm, and He says, "So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." And I want to point your attention to that word this morning. For from chapter 3, verse 11, until chapter 4, verse 11, that word rest is used 9 times. 9 times in a span of 1 chapter, the word rest is used. Of course, you know the New Testament was written originally in Greek, and that word for rest is the word katapausis. I've been practicing that all week. Katapausis. Now, that pausis is where we get our English word pause from. Pause. So when you look up the Greek definition of that word, the definition of the word rest is this. It means a putting to rest, a pause, or a calming of the wind. A calming of the winds. And that's the definition I like the most, Brother Johnny, because you remember in the Gospels, Jesus and His disciples were there out on the Sea of Galilee, and there came a storm. There came some wind. The water started to fill up in the boat, and the disciples were all scared to death because the storm is raging. They're not sure if they're going to live or if they're going to make it to the other side. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of all that's going on, Christ steps up and says, "Peace, be still." And the winds, whoosh, they stop. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes that'd be nice in our life, wouldn't it? When everything is just chaotic, when everything is just crazy, and when you just need some rest for a while, just for Christ to step up and say a word, and it just all gets calm in your life. That's what we need sometimes, isn't it? You know, there are thousands of families across our nation this weekend that have traveled to their favorite vacation spot to do just that. They have went to find rest. They're trying to find rest from their 40-hour, 50-hour a week job. They're trying to find rest from their families. They're trying to find rest from their problems. And they're just trying to find rest in the midst of their lives that are so often filled with just chaos and just something going on all the time. You want to get away and find rest. And I can speak for probably every single one of us in here today. We all need rest, don't we? We all need rest. I can tell by the way you're staring at me this morning. When everything will just be calm and, you know, we can just have a little peace for a little time. Sometimes life just gets so hectic, you feel like you don't have any peace or rest or calm or anything. And you know, I'm thankful today that for those of us who are children of God, we have found rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I'm thankful for that today. But you know, even for us as Christians, it is so easy to lose our rest, isn't it? It is so easy to lose our sense of calm, and it is very easy to lose our peace in the midst of this world. And when we lose our peace and calming, when we lose our rest, there's only one thing that we want. It back. That is the only thing that we want, is to have it back. And you know, as we look at the Bible this morning, I believe it tells us how we can have it back. In verse 7, verse 13, and verse 15, the author of Hebrews uses the word today. Today. He uses that word three times. And Brother Johnny, I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us something here today. That for those of us who want peace, that for those of us who want rest, that for those of us who just want some calm a little bit in our lives, you don't have to wait 6 months, and you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to find rest. The Bible says you can find it within this 24-hour day. Isn't that a good thing? Today, right here, right now, the Word of God is telling you, you can find rest. If you need rest today, say amen. Amen. Some of you couldn't say it because you need rest. Right? And you want me to be honest with you? This morning, the reason I'm preaching this message to you is because there was a day this week where it was in my spirit I felt an unrest, Brother Johnny. You ever feel that? There's just something that's not right. There's something going on, and for some reason you've lost your peace. And I woke up one morning and God directed me to Hebrews chapter number 3, and I read this text, and He says, today, if you'll do this, you can find rest. And you know what? I found rest before the day was over. So I'm telling you today, if you've come into church this morning, you're looking for peace, you're looking for calm, you're looking for rest, before you walk out, you can find it. This works. The Bible isn't just ancient words. The Bible works for today. The Bible works. And I'm telling you today, before you go to sleep tonight, if you'll do what the Bible tells us to do, you can enter into God's rest area. And I'm thankful He has that place for us. Let me give you the context of this before I give you our 2 points today. The writer of Hebrews, we don't know who the writer is, but he is writing to a group of Jews. And these Jews, I want you to listen to this. These Jews are literally on the edge of leaving Judaism and entering into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? They're literally, if you will, on the bank of the promised land. They're deciding whether they should go back or trust Christ as their Savior. And the writer here in Hebrews chapter number 3 is writing to them, urging them that if they will just listen to the voice of God, verse 7, if you will just hear His voice and cross over to faith in Christ, you'll find that rest. You will find that rest. And he uses an Old Testament example to warn them of what they should not do. He says in verse 7 and 8, look at it. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation or as in the rebellion in the day of temptation when your fathers tempted me, proved me, tested me there in the wilderness. You know what he's saying? He's saying today if you will hear God's voice and do not rebel against it as your fathers rebelled against it, you'll find rest. Of course, you know he's talking about Numbers chapter 13 and 14 when those 12 spies went into the promised land. They came back and they are literally, this time literally, on the bank of the promised land. I mean, they're standing right here on the edge. If they cross over, they enter into it. But you know what they did? They went backwards. didn't he? See, God commanded them the promised land, the place of rest is right there. Go in, I'm going to give it to you. You know what they said? Nope. Them dudes are big. They feared to enter in when God said, enter in. And they disobeyed God. And the writer is trying to tell these people now in the New Testament, listen, do not be like them, for if you disobey God, you will not enter into that rest. You will not find the rest God has provided for you. And church, you know, I believe this same exact warning should go out to us today. Because even those of us who have come to faith in Christ, we have crossed over. I believe in the midst of our lives, God has a rest. God has a calm. God has just a peace that He wants us to have in the midst of our lives. And so often we miss out on that peace because we do the same thing Israel did. We disobey God. And we don't do what God simply tells us to do. And we refuse to be obedient to what He tells us to do. But you know, today, as the Bible, of course, you know, is inspired through the Holy Spirit, I believe He's urging you and I today that if we will do this, if you're looking for rest, today, if you will do this, you can find rest. You can find rest. So I'm going to give you these 2 points this morning. If you're looking for rest today, the first thing the author says is you need to hear His voice. You need to hear His voice. Verse 7 says, today if you'll hear His voice. Verse 15, today if you will hear His voice. The first step that if you want to find rest today, you've got to hear the voice of God. You have got to hear the voice of God. And I've heard so many people, Brother Johnny, say this to me. I've never heard God speak to me. And you know what the problem with that is? The problem isn't God's not speaking to you. The problem is you ain't listening. Amen. The problem, if you can't hear God's voice, is not that He's not speaking, it's that we aren't listening. Because God still speaks today. God still speaks today, and now I'll go ahead and tell you this, I don't believe God speaks in an audible voice today to me. He's never done it to me, so I don't believe He does it to anybody. But anyway, it sure would be nice sometimes if God would speak to us in an audible voice, wouldn't it? You know, hey God, I'm trying to figure out which job I need to go to when I finish college. Why don't you go here and apply here? Appreciate it. You know, that'd be pretty simple, wouldn't it? God, I'm trying to figure out who I should marry. Marry this girl. Thank you. You know, it'd be pretty simple if He did it that way, wouldn't it? But that's not the way God works, I don't believe, in this time in which we're living. Now, I'm of the opinion with many other scholars that are a whole lot smarter than me that God communicates in different ways depending on which generation you're in. He communicates in different ways depending on which time period you live in. For example, Hebrews chapter 1:1 says, in the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets. So if you wanted to hear God's voice in the Old Testament, God was speaking through the prophets. Once you get to the New Testament, if you wanted to hear God's voice, God spoke through His Son. And then He spoke through His apostles. You say, well, if I want to hear God's voice today, what do I need to do? How do I hear God's voice today? The first step, of course, you need to listen. You know, although God doesn't speak in an audible voice to us, I can be real honest with you this morning. He speaks a whole lot louder than an audible voice today. Because those of you who have sat in church, you know this. God speaks to your conscience. Yeah. And when God begins to speak to your conscience, He ain't leaving until you start listening. And He ain't going to let you go, is He? Until you begin to listen to what He's saying. And I'm telling you this. When God begins to speak to your conscience, it is utterly impossible not to hear what He's saying. He makes it crystal clear what He wants to say. The Bible says He speaks in a still, small voice. You know what that means? It means you need to get quiet enough to where you can hear it. The reason most people say God doesn't speak to me is because you got the TV on too loud. It's because you got your radio on every time you get in the car. It's because when you go home, the first thing you do is cut on the TV and you hear all of these other voices and you don't even give God time to speak. Most people in modern day America never get quiet enough to listen to what God is saying to them. It is a still, small voice. But you know what it is? It's also a sure voice. You know what that means? That means when God wants to speak to you, you're not going to have to walk away saying, "What did God say? I didn't hear it right." When God wants to say something to you, He's going to make it crystal clear what He wants you to hear. He will make it exactly crystal clear. You say, "Well, how does God speak to us today?" I believe God speaks to us in three primary ways today. God's voice is heard, number one, through the Bible. Let's break it down for us. The Bible is called the Word of God. Now, we just say that and we don't even think about what it is. The Word of God. So if you want to hear what God is saying, He wrote it down for you. This is God's holy Word. And if you want to hear what God wants to say to you, all you've got to do is open it up and begin reading. Because this is a book that is inspired. It wasn't just written for Jews 2,000 years ago. It was preserved and protected so that you and I could know what God wanted to say to us as well. The Bible is the primary way in which God speaks. And do you want me to tell you the main problem in churches today? The main problem in churches today isn't the style of music. The main problem in churches today isn't what color the pew is. The main problem in churches today is not how big the building is. The main problem is nobody reads their Bible anymore. Amen. Nobody reads their Bible anymore. Used to, I guess 50 years ago, 100 years ago, nobody had a TV to watch when you go home, and the only thing to do was to really read your Bible. But now there's so many other things to do. We just bring it to church on Sunday and then leave it in the car Monday through Saturday. The Bible is, if you want to hear God speaking to you, God uses His Word to speak to us. Let me tell you this. You want to get on fire for God? Read the Bible. It is impossible to read the Bible day after day after day after day after day after day and not get on fire for God every once in a while. Because He speaks through His Word. He'll speak through His Word. Number two. This is a good one. He also speaks through our circumstances. I believe God speaks through our circumstances. He sure spake to Moses, didn't He, through his circumstances. Moses was out leading the sheep one day, and all of a sudden there came a fire in a bush. Moses looked around. He said, "Well, that'll burn up. Be all right." 10 minutes later, he comes back. There wasn't one leaf burnt. And he says, "Now hold on, how in the world is this bush on fire and yet none of it is turned to ashes? None of it is consumed." You want to know why? Because God was trying to get Moses' attention. And when Moses turned around, the Bible says when God saw that he turned, God started talking. And don't you think Moses looked at that bush and said, "Boy, that's weird"? Have you ever had circumstances in your life where you look and say, "That's weird. Why is this happening?" Do you know God uses those circumstances to speak to us? God uses the various circumstances in our life to speak to our heart. I think it was Charles Stanley. He said, "A child of God who is walking in the Spirit is to do this. He's to look for the handiwork, the footprint, and the handprint of Almighty God in every single situation of life." Every single thing that comes in our life, we're to look for God's handprint on it. Because He's trying to use it to get our attention more than likely. God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through our circumstances. But this is a good one. God also speaks through other people to us. And let me say this. You better be real careful who you listen to who wants to talk for God. Because if you want to ask me, "Justin, what job do you think I should take?" I can tell you, but it may not be God's plan for you. I don't know. Because you know, there are a lot of voices that come into our lives, aren't there? I don't know about you, but every morning I wake up about 3:30 a.m. and you know who's talking? The devil. He talks. He talks real loud. His voice is heard. Wasn't there two voices in the Garden of Eden? God spoke to Adam and Eve, and then all of a sudden the devil came and began to speak. Don't listen to what he's telling you. He's lying to you. There's two different voices there. You've got to be careful whose voice you're listening to. You say, "Well, how do I know it's God speaking to me?" I've said this before. God will never tell you to do anything that contradicts what this Word tells you to do. In other words, if you say, God is telling me that I should marry this man or this woman who's not a Christian, but I am. That's not God. Because God's already said you shouldn't do that in His Word. You say, God's telling me to go out and steal something. You really believe that? God will always line up with this Word. Every single time. But God speaks through other people. Let me tell you this story. When I was 20-something, I don't know. I was working at the YMCA and where I grew up, and I was about to graduate college that December. And when I was praying for the last few weeks, I began to feel this nudge that I was supposed to go preach in the prisons. That I needed to go share the gospel with people who were in prison. And for the longest time, I said, God, get out of here with that mess. I don't want nothing to do with that. There's plenty of 40, 50-year-old men who are a whole lot more qualified than me to do that. They can do it. Leave it to them. I don't want it. Well, as I said, when God wants you to do something, He ain't going to leave you alone until you do it. So I started to get a little bit miserable. I said, God, you know what? I don't know what to do anymore. I'm miserable. Every time I pray, this is the only thing you want to talk about, and I don't want to talk about it. I said, so you know what? Whatever you want me to do, you just need to tell me clearly, like He didn't already tell me. So that morning I went to work and I had that on my mind. And when I got to my office that morning, I sat down and there was a man coming at 10 o'clock that morning and I was supposed to train him. It was his first time. I said, why? And he walks in and says, hey brother, I'm so and so. I'm here to train. And I said, all right, that sounds good. Just sit down, do whatever. I'll get you signed up. And he could tell I had something on my mind for some reason. And he said, hey, you got something on your mind today? I said, yeah, if you only knew. He said, well, I'm here. We can talk about it. I said, all right. I said, I think God wants me to go and preach the gospel in the prisons for a while. I said, but I'm just not sure what I want to do. And Brother Clyde, that man sitting right there looks at me, and he got a big old smile on his face. He said, son, I've been in prison ministry for the past 35 years. And he said, you ought to do it. It's one of the greatest things you'll ever experience. And I about started crying. And what I wanted to do was reach out and make sure his face was real. I was looking around. I was like, is this real? Like, really? I woke up this morning asking you to tell me, and now this man comes in and says, yeah, I've been doing it for 35 years. You ought to do it. Right? And that amazed me that God cared about me that much. I believe He sent that man there that morning to say, hey, let me get your attention real quick. By the way, God will do that to you as well. God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through circumstances. And God also speaks through other people. And I'm telling you today, I think there's an essential oil called peace and calming. Is that right, Miss Robin? Amen. We all need peace and calming, don't we? You can put on the oil. It may work. But I'm telling you this. You want some peace and calming? Get alone with God and say, Lord, speak. Thy servant heareth. That's exactly what Samuel said. I'm here. Whatever you want to say, I'm open to it. And when He brings it to your conscience, don't say, no, not that. Just not that. Because I do that all the time. That's God trying to bring it up to you and get it figured out for you. Now, if you want rest, number one, you not only have to hear the voice of God, the Bible tells us, but that's only the first step. The next step's the hardest step for us. You not only have to hear His voice, but secondly, the Bible's going to tell us we must be obedient to His voice. You know, when we clearly hear the voice of God and you know what His will is, you've now got a choice to make. You can listen to it and do what He tells you to do, or you can listen to it and brush it off. Listen and obey, or listen and rebel. And I can tell you this. So many people ask the question, I just don't know what God's will is, right? What is God's will? Well, I can look back on my life and I can tell you this. So often my problem wasn't that I didn't know what God's will was. My problem was I didn't want to follow through with what God's will was. I knew what it was. I just had trouble following through with it, Brother Danny. And I believe we all have that problem, don't we? We know exactly what God is telling us to do, but sometimes it's hard to do it. It's hard to do it sometimes. But you know, in Hebrews, He gives us a warning. A warning comes to us. And He says, if you don't hear God's voice, there are many things, or if you don't obey, there are many things that are going to happen, but there's two specifics that He mentions. Verse 8, He says, harden not your hearts. Do you realize when God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you know what's going to happen to your heart? It's going to get hard, isn't it? Remember Pharaoh in the Old Testament? God, Moses said, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, let my people go. And every time Pharaoh said, no, 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 I don't care what God's saying, I'm God, no, 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 I'm not doing what God tells me to do. And each time the Bible says his heart got harder and harder and harder and harder. And you know what does the exact same thing to us? When you hear God telling you specifically to do something and you continue to rebel and say no, your heart gets hard. And you know what happens when your heart gets hard? You're going to get miserable. Because you're going to look back and say, why can't I hear God's voice anymore in my life? Why can't I feel God's presence anymore in my life? Why can't I hear His voice the way I heard Him 5 years ago? It's because when your heart gets hard, God's voice gets softer, 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 and softer. Can I tell you today? The worst place you can be on planet Earth is that place. Where you're thinking, I don't even hear Him anymore. There's some people in here that have been there, haven't you? And that's a horrible place to be. So when God tells us to do something, each time we disobey, our heart just gets harder. So the best thing to do is just say, yes, Lord, and do it. But not only when we disobey God, do our hearts get hard. I want you to know this, and this goes right along with the message. We will never find rest. He said the reason they didn't find rest is because they didn't do what I told them to do. If they'd have just entered into the promised land, they'd have been fine. But because they said no, they did not enter into my rest. And it's the exact same thing with us. When we say no, God, we'll never enter into the rest He has for us. Me and Monica, I have a little dog. She's my pride and joy for about the next 6 weeks. And then I'll have another pride and joy. But I told Johnny this morning, I would literally fight somebody if you want to mess with my dog. I love her that much. But anyway, our dog is about 10 pounds. She's getting heavier because I feed her from the table. But anyway, she likes to go for a walk with us. And I take her on her little leash and we'll just begin walking and we're just going right along. All of a sudden, she does a 180. Boom! And wants to just take off the other way. Now, I still got the leash in my hand. What she don't realize is that I'm about 150 pounds higher than her. By the way, way more than that. And easily, if I wanted to, I could say, get back here. Right? I could overpower her just like that. But you know what she does? For some reason, she thinks she could overpower me. And she just keeps on. And man, I'm telling you, when she's going, I mean, she's trying, boy. She's trying as hard as she can. And I'm just sitting here like, we'll go as long as you want to. And when she's doing it, do you think she's happy? When she's not making up any ground, do you think she's finding rest? Or what do you think she's doing? She's absolutely wearing herself out, ain't she? Because she's sitting here for 5 minutes trying, and she ain't took one step forward. And you know what that is? I thought about it this week. Sometimes that's God versus you and me. God is saying, come on, Justin, let's walk this way. Let's go this way. Justin says, now, hold on. And I want to take off. And you know, when we go and we go and we're trying to go against what God tells us to do, we're trying and trying and trying, you're not going to find rest going the opposite way God wants you to go. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find that you're going to be absolutely miserable. You are going to wear yourself out going the opposite direction God wants you to go. And that's exactly what happens. We just expect to find happiness going the opposite way God wants us to go. Happiness is not found disobeying God. Happiness is found obeying God. And I can stand up here and tell you that. There may be pleasure in sin for a short little time, but that pleasure is going to run out real quick. Because when we disobey God, we can't find rest. We can't find the happiness. We can't find the peace and the calm that He wants us to have. Now, this is funny. I thought about this week. I've never sat in church and had my preacher call me a mule. I mean, how degrading for a preacher to look at you and say, you're just an old mule. Well, this morning, we're just a bunch of old mules. Yeah. Walk out of church saying, my preacher called me a mule. I'm not going back. Psalm 32. Be not as the horse or the mule, which has no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. The psalmist said, don't be like a mule who is so stubborn when I'm trying to lead him this way. He just wants to go whatever way he wants to go, Landon. Isn't that right? You're trying to lead him this way, and they say, now hold on, something looks good over there. Let's go that way. And they don't even know what they're looking at. They have no understanding. The psalmist says, don't be like that. Because what the person now has to do is break that horse in order to bring him the way he wants him to go, right? Psalmist says, don't be like that. Do not be stubborn when God tells you to do something. Just do it. Because you know what he says? He says, many sorrows will be to that person. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. In other words, when you're going the opposite direction of what God wants you to do, you'll find a lot of sorrowful times. But if you walk in the direction God wants you to walk in your life, you'll find joy. You'll find joy in the midst of your life. Let me ask you a question that I already know the answer to. Do you want God's best for your life? Sick kid, yes. You want God's best for your life. The best advice somebody ever gave me is this. Do whatever He tells you to do. Do whatever God tells you to do. If God says, I want you to run through that brick wall, I ought to run expecting He's going to make a hole before I get there. Do whatever God tells you to do. Think about it. If Adam and Eve would have just done that, don't you think the world would have been a whole lot better place? If Adam and Eve would have just said, God told us to do this, so we're just going to do it, our world wouldn't be going through what it's going through right now, would it? And do you know our lives are kind of the same way? I'm not telling you because you obey God that there's not going to be any troubles. But I am telling you there's a whole lot more troubles going that way in disobeying what the Lord has told us to do. You say, well, why sometimes do we not obey what God tells us to do? Let me tell you this and I'm done. You say, well, sometimes I don't because I'm just scared of how it's going to turn out. God's telling us to do something. We're saying, well, God, how's that going to turn out? I'm scared of how it's going to turn out. Here's this. Obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. Because don't you think God has already thought that out? God has already said, I already know how it's going to turn out and I'm leading you the best way. He already knows. That's why He's telling us to go this way. You say, well, I just don't understand why He's telling me to do this. Do you think they understood when Joshua said, see that town over there? Jericho? How are we going to take it, Joshua? Let's go fight them. We got more than them. Let's take them down. God said He wants us to walk around in a circle 6 times. And on the 7th day, walk around 7 times. And they looked at Joshua and said, yeah, that's going to work. And you know what happened? They obeyed God and the walls came tumbling down. I just don't understand why God would tell me to do, leave my job, leave my husband, or He wouldn't tell you to do that. Leave this person, this friend, this whoever. I just don't understand why God would tell me to do that. God didn't ask us if we understood. He just asked us to be obedient. God doesn't require us to understand. God calls us to be obedient. Because it is then that we'll not only find God's best, but it is then that we will find God's rest. If God's telling you to do something this morning, you know what Hebrews said? Don't wait till Monday morning to do it. Because if you're like me, as time goes by, you ain't going to do it. You're going to make every excuse to say, well, God, I got this going on. Right, I'll wait till tomorrow. The writer says, today, you've been hearing God tell you to do this for a month, for a week, for 6 months. And if you'll obey, there's a place of rest just for you, where your spirit can enter into that rest. I'm done. Charles Stanley said, many people are on the brink of losing God's best because they have chosen to listen to a voice other than God's. God has provided the best for you. And if you fail to listen, you'll go through life having missed God's best. But when you listen and obey, God's best will be yours. Trust and obey, Brother Daddy. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Musicians, you can come. Father, I pray that whoever you wanted to speak to this morning, Lord, I pray that they heard your message loud and clear, God. And this message is for all of us. That whenever this week or even right now you've laid something on the conscience of the hearer, Lord, whatever you're telling us to do, I pray that we would just trust you and be able to do it. And Lord, you would take care of the rest. So Lord, I just pray for that person whom you've laid something on their heart right now that they need to do when they get home, when they get to work, or whatever. I pray, Lord, that before the day's over that they will just obey what you've told them to do. And Lord, the Bible says we'll find rest in obedience to you. So Lord, we thank you so much for giving us the power, giving us the strength, giving us the wisdom to follow you. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus who in all points obeyed you. And I'm so thankful today that he did, because through that we find salvation. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we ask it. Amen.